What is your superpower? Do you know? I love when the kids say that these days. You hear that sometimes, that people claim their superpower? And it's like this positive slang, right? It gives me hope for the next generation that they understand that there is an innate power inside of them that they can tap and express. I know it's often said in jest, but underneath it all, there is truth, right? And so what is your superpower? The good news is you don't have to choose just one. In Unity, we have teachings that say we have 12 superpowers. They are faith, wisdom, love, strength, power, imagination, understanding, will, order, zeal, release, and life. That's a lot of power. And this idea of the 12 powers and the number 12 is even really significant. The number 12 means completion, kind of a spiritual completion. It means wholeness. It means divine authority. It means perfect governance. And there are so many examples of 12. I won't exhaust you with them, and you're probably already thinking of some. But I will highlight a few that have some spiritual significance. In Revelation, the tree of life bears 12 fruits. In the New Jerusalem, there are 12 gates, 12 entryways. In Chinese acupuncture, there are 12 meridians, 12 primary energy or qi channels. And in the zodiac, there are 12 signs that represent the constellations that are crossing through the heavenly bodies, the cosmic atmosphere. So you can see that 12 has some significance. According to Bible scholars, 12 signifies a multiplication of 3, which is divinity, and 4, which is physicality or earth. You think of the 4 elements and the Trinity, or the 3 aspects of the divine. And so all of these ideas come together to give us the sense that the divine and the human is appreciated, right, in the 12 powers. When we activate the 12 powers, we are activating the wholeness of who we are, our physical life, our spiritual life, our mental life, our emotional life, all of who we are. So they are indeed superpowers, and one at a time, they activate to get to a point or ignite to get to a point where the fullness of our Christ consciousness or our divine consciousness is realized. Emma Curtis Hopkins was the original teacher of this work. She's known as the teacher of teachers among New Thought folks. Charles and Myrtle Fillmore, our co-founders in Unity, actually sat at her feet and really learned from her, as did many who went on at the turn of the last century, and actually the late 1800s, when the whole idea of New Thought was beginning and stirring within people. It had a foundation in faith healing, actually. It had a foundation in Christianity and wide open arms to really all the paths. Our co-founder, Charles Fillmore, studied Eastern religions quite a bit, and you can hear and feel and note that flavor in our teachings as well. So Emma Curtis Hopkins talked about one of her key teachings was the 12 jewels of mysticism. And in the 12 jewels of mysticism, she talked about these powers within us. And then she described them specifically in her early book, Scientific Mental Practice, in this way. She said that there are 12 aspects of our consciousness represented by the 12 apostles, and that you must be awoke to every one of them. You imagine she's teaching this with all of these folks who are going to go on to start amazing movements that bring us to this place today. She says, when your mind exercises these 12 powers, the 12 aspects of consciousness shine like polished jewels. They make a perfect foundation for an absolute demonstration of the spirit within each of us. And then she says, let the mind go step by step. One lesson seems to be all, and then it takes you to the next level of realization, and then the next, till the 12 powers or the 12 gates of understanding are opened. And then she gives us this promise: your life will be free and glad and powerful. So similar to the Hindu system of the seven chakras, the 12 powers are located in centers in the body. Charles Fillmore did that part. And then another Unity student added the colors that are associated with them. So we can work with this idea of the 12 centers or the sort of enthroned places within us, like we did in the meditation, and apply the color as well in your own ways. I mean, what we did in the meditation today was one suggestion, but you can play with this in your own way. And I want to encourage us to work with these week by week. So maybe in your practice time, you can work with the power of faith and igniting this power all week long, and then next week's strength and so on. So this first power of faith is matched up with the order in which the disciples were called. So this first one is represented by Peter. And there's also a Unity minister, Letty Hammack, who happens to be the minister that Sue K. Riley works with and has worked with for many decades, the one who wrote the song that Lisa just sang. Letty Hammack came up with the 12 women of the chalice, associating each of the powers with one of the biblical women. So this one is Elizabeth's power. So, and I told you in the meditation where it's located, so you can find it in the center of the mind, in the center of the brain. So how would you describe faith? Because it's always important to start with our own understanding, our own sense or definition of something. Anybody have a word or words that you would use? Trust? Anyone else? Expectations. Love. Yes. We'll get to the power of love too, Mario. You better be here that Sunday. Surrender. Surrender, yes. An act that brings us into faith. Belief. Knowing. Yeah. Letting go. Hope. Uh-huh. Yeah. All of these things, right? The shades of this power. And some of the things you mentioned, things that help us give over to faith. Surrender, right? Hope is like a shade of faith. It's like maybe a baby step toward faith, but it's a part of faith. Trust also, getting a little closer, right? And then faith, maybe that sense of knowing, that conviction, expectation, strength of that idea. In Hebrews, it says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not yet seen. And so it has both that idea of hope and conviction. So there was a major drought in a farming community. You can relate, right? Way off somewhere else, right? We can all relate to this idea. And this minister called the townspeople together and said, let's come together and pray for rain. And people came not only from that town, but from all around that were affected by the drought, that were concerned for their well-being of their families and their farms and their wealth and so on, their food, their supply. And so all the people gathered, and they were from different religions, and they had this, there was a mix in the air of hope, of worry, of fear, of anxiety, maybe a little shade of faith here and there. And so the minister laid his eyes on somebody who was all the way in the back. It was a woman who was clearly holding a space of faith. And the crowd parted, and she began to walk forward with an open umbrella. Thank you, Susan, for your faith. So what is that? Why did she do that? It's an affirmation, right? It's a knowing, it's a making firm that which we don't yet see with our eyes, but we know and we see with our hearts and with the power of faith within us. It's that knowing that can cast into the future and say, I'm going to pull it into my present by showing up in this way. What greater prayer, what greater demonstration of prayer could there have been than an open umbrella at a gathering praying for rain? And so it's that kind of stepping in that faith invites us into. Faith is an expectancy, as somebody said. It's behaving as if it's our desire is already fulfilled, our prayer is already answered. So for faith, to the kind that it seems that we need now in our transition time, because we're still in a transition time, much as we might like to say this darn pandemic is behind us, it's not totally, right? It's sort of a step in, step out kind of dance that we continue to do. And yet, you know, some people could encapsulate that in really great wording, such as Helen Keller did. This time that we're in. She said, faith is a dynamic power that breaks the chain of routine. Imagine that coming from Helen Keller. When I hear things from Helen Keller, I think about what that woman went through, not being able to see, not being able to speak for some time, not being able to hear. And yet, coming forth with this idea of faith, it breaks the chain of routine. So anyone feel like their chain of routine has been broken in the last 15 months or so? That's faith that broke our chain of routine. That's faith that when physical things happen in the world, even things that we don't necessarily want, there is a sense of faith that says something else is happening here, right? There's an underlying energy here. There's a possibility. There's a blessing. I'm bringing my umbrella because the rain is coming. And that chain of routine, when it is broken, it is broken so that we can grow. There is intentionality behind what happens in the world, even when we can't connect all the dots ourselves in our minds. But we can when we move into the capability, the potential, and the possibility of things like faith. So when our chain of routine was broken in this pandemic, when faith broke that chain, faith is also there to help us in the process of reassessing our lives, of reassessing ourselves, of reassessing our society and our place in it. We've had lots of opportunity to do that, and it continues, doesn't it? I mean, it's always here. We're always evolving. We're always examining life, but it sure seems intensified when the whole wide world is going through something like this. It gets our attention, for sure. So the chain of routine in my niece Nicole's life, you can think of probably a lot of examples in this pandemic, has been radically broken. You know, she had her life of work and a boyfriend of 8 years and things going for her in Florida that suddenly just didn't feel like they were working for her anymore. I mean, I think it maybe had been a slow process, but it came to a place of she wanted to see the world. She had these dreams and ideas, and she finally just started putting legs on her prayers and making it happen. She had all these things lined out. She was going to start her trip out in India, volunteer, help special needs kids, and then from there she was going to go to this next place and put all those things in place. And then came the pandemic. And one by one, each of those things got eroded and you know, dropped away. And there she was, having upended her life already, having moved, driven across from Florida to Chicago and landed back at my sister's house. And so she rebuilt a temporary life, but she was really waiting out COVID because this was still burning in her heart. And now she's doing it. She's traveling all around South America. She's recreating her work through remote work. And she even met a new love who was a much better match for her, in her auntie's opinion. And her mom's opinion, and her other auntie's opinion, and her grandma's opinion. We've all got opinions, right, about our people. So Nicole is now, she sends me these little tidbits, you know, of what's going on and what she's up to. And she had about 10 days of travel on her own, and she decided to hike to the top of this active volcano. And she was with a group, and she said it was the hardest hike she's ever done by far. And this girl is she's got a lot of chutzpah. She said the ground was so loose that she would take 2 steps forward and then slide back a step. And so you can imagine this big, steep hike, and you're doing that all along the way, and the ground is sort of moving beneath your feet, right? And I thought, boy, isn't that the perfect metaphor for where we are? It's like two steps forward, whoop, there we go, sliding back again, you know, and we just got to keep on keeping on, moving toward that place, that goal, that intention that we want to head to. She said the trip was beautiful and challenging. And so I don't know if you feel like this lately or not, but this, it's like as if we're moving toward our sort of new lives, but they're our old lives in new packaging maybe, right? So it's this very interesting, different kind of experience that's happening. And then at the same time, there's sort of this rhythm of the pandemic life that we got used to. And so we're moving out of that in a way. And all of it maybe feels a little bit shaky in between, like a shaky transition. Maybe a little bit, like to top it off, then we had an earthquake on Thursday. Anybody feel that? Yes and no. I see yeses and nos. So it's kind of like that feeling, right? The earth is moving beneath our feet. And we're just trying to move forward, but we're also kind of sliding back a little bit. What's so unique about where we are right now is that it's not like any other transition that we typically have in our lives. If you think about it, normally when we graduate or we retire or we get a new job or we get married or we get divorced or we move, even when we're born or we have our life transition into the next dimension, it's a marked experience of moving from one experience of the past into the next experience of the future. But right now, we're sort of like moving back to what we used to have, but not exactly moving forward into that which we used to live, but now it's not quite the same. And why isn't it the same? Because we're different. So we go to our familiar activities, our favorite places like Unity, and there is a familiarity. There is a sense of coming home. There is a recognition of one another and place and feeling. And yet, it's a little different because we are and because we're still in transition. And so just to note that, to recognize that there is a simultaneous feeling of familiar and new happening for us, and to recognize that there's something different inside of us, and it's not yet fully grounded. We're not yet fully on solid ground where we can say, yeah, this is where I'm headed, and this is what matters to me, and this is where I want to invest my time and talent and treasure in my life. We have some sense of those things, but we may not be in that place of conviction yet. So it's a process, and faith helps us get there. Faith broke the chain of routine, and faith will be there for us as we move through to the next dimension of our own lives. So I don't know about you, but I also feel like we're getting shown something that we haven't seen before. It's as if through this process, Spirit is revealing to us through the physical processes of change more than we've known before. I don't know about you, but in the last few years, I've become less naive, less complacent. I feel like I've gained a little wisdom about just sort of how the world, like a lot of the stuff, the things that have come out of the shadows. So there's that kind of happening at the same time that I feel like we've matured maybe to a point that we're allowed to see more as God sees. And we can do this, we can handle this because we have these powers. Because as we activate these powers, we learn how to navigate the new old world with more grace, with more understanding, with more wisdom, with more love, with all of these powers, really. So all of this is available to us. It's a dynamic, awakening, erupting kind of spirituality moment that has been happening for us, especially during the last, say, year and a half or so. And as we become aware, we just need to recognize that we've got the support, right? That we're not totally on our own. The first disciple, as I mentioned, that was called was Peter. His name originally was Simon. Simon means hearing. So he heard the call, he heeded the call, he followed the call to come close to the divine. Jesus is a representation of the innate Christ in all of us. So when Peter came to follow Jesus, he was coming into himself, if you will, closer to the divine within him, recognizing more of the Christ consciousness in him by following that. But he was Simon then, and he became Peter. He became Peter, which means the rock. He was named that because he expanded into his capacity of faith. He was willing to try new things. He was eager to try new things. Remember when Jesus left the throngs of the people to go and pray on the land for a while and to be apart from others? He did that several times, but there was this one point in time when he does this, and then the disciples are in their fishing boat out on the lake, and it's, you know, daybreak, and the wind's kind of blowing, it's a little bit stormy, and, you know, there's Jesus thinking, how am I going to get to the boat? I know, I'll walk. And so he walks across the water, right? And then Peter is the one who sees him and says, oh, at first they all think he's a ghost and they're afraid. On top of a storm, here's this ghostly figure coming toward him, but that kind of looks like Jesus. And so Peter says, is it you? If it's you, tell me to come and I will come. And Jesus says, come. And out comes Peter off the boat, walking on water too. Until the wind started to blow more and Peter got afraid and he began to sink. And how did he come back up? But the hand of the I am reached for him and pulled him up. Charles Fillmore says it this way. Peter began to walk on the water in spiritual faith, but then he saw the effects of the wind and he was afraid and he began to sink. And then the I am gave its hand of spiritual power and the wind ceased and there was no longer any doubt of faith's ability to rise above negative consequences. So it's that ability to whatever that we can be in a consciousness of faith and we can be in a consciousness of fear. We can actually put our faith in fear, right? We can choose those two. But when we are in a consciousness of faith, we believe things are possible. Peter was in a place of faith that said, this is possible. If I've got that support out there, I know I can do what he is doing and greater things will I do, which was Jesus' promise to us over and over again. So you might be thinking, well, this is a far-fetched story. Nobody walks on water. Have you ever walked on fire? Anybody ever walk across hot coals? Richard, yes? Mario? Maybe? Signing up to do it? All right. So Richard, I'd love to hear about your experience sometime. I did this too, so today I'll tell you about my experience and sometime we'll hear about Richard's. So they said that the coals were 1,800 degrees Fahrenheit. And it was, you know, the fire was spread out into this big, big circle. So in order to get across, you had to take at least 12 pretty big steps. I mean, I would say I didn't walk across the fire. I didn't stroll across the fire. Sort of skipped across the fire, you know, as fast as I could. But it wasn't really, you know, a tight fire. So it wasn't like a one step in, one step out kind of thing. And so we prepared for that through prayer. We prepared for that experience. And why would we do it? For the same reason that Jesus stepped out of the boat. For the same reason that my niece Nicole was climbing a volcano and sliding backwards and continuing on. Because we want to see what's possible. We want to touch what's possible. We want to expand. It is natural for us to want to expand to the very best that we can be. To rise into the divine potential that we were intended to be. And so we exercise that power of faith in a way that we haven't exercised before. Was I scared? You bet. But what helped is I saw other people do it. And that's what always helps, isn't it? When we have a leader or a teacher or anyone, someone who's willing to say, this is how it goes. And I didn't get burned. And then you go, okay, maybe I can do it too then. So that experience of walking across that hot fire made me realize that the things that we might call outlandish or mythical or wild stories, biblical stories, they're not that. They're real. They're real experiences that people have to expand mind over matter so they can become more of who we were meant to be, essentially. So, where do we go from here? How do we cultivate this faith? If we keep walking just one step at a time toward that true self, toward that true life that is being created while we are co-creating it, if we move with a sense of openness and willingness, surrender, hope, trust, we'll get there. Wherever that destination is, and then, you know, the goalpost will move, right? That's the way it is when we're becoming on a spiritual path. So to make peace with that and to know that as we activate this power, we become more engaged in life. Life is more fun. It's more fulfilling. It's more exciting when the chain of routine is broken and something is opened up for us as possible. So it's a good time to assess ourselves and where we want to be and how we want to be and where we want to invest ourselves. And the winds of transition, well, they will continue to blow probably now and then. And there will be times we might sidestep a little bit, slide back, maybe even sink. We might even get a blister on our foot. But it's all okay because we just keep on keeping on. And we can do that through going within, right? So when there's a time where we feel uncertain, it's just that drop in, a pause, a prayer, maybe even this idea of just coming into that space of faith and imagining that essence, that throne of faith, if you will, taking your seat in the throne of faith within your own mind and seeing maybe yourself clothed in royal blue and those robes of royal blue flowing out or whatever imagery works for you. Letting that energy of royal blue flood your being and go beyond with each breath, just even a few breaths. I see a lot of royal blue in the audience, by the way. You might want to dress according to powers. Next week is strength. You can wear green if you want. We'll try to remember. Susan and I will try to remember to put that in Center Point Weekly so you can be reminded of the power of the week. So throughout the week, you might want to have more royal blue in your life. You know, you might want to paint with some royal blue. Or just wear it, or just have it in front of you in whatever ways. Maybe you have an altar cloth or a pillow or something that just reminds you, there, the color of faith. There am I, the color of faith. And to not forget our support systems, right? We can reach out to one another, to the God within one another, and be supported, because that I am, that divine essence, is in all of us. So, sometimes I think, you know, the miracle isn't just the moments of things like walking on water, walking across fire. It's just living. Do you ever feel like it's just a darn miracle that you're like alive and well and you got yourself up and dressed and here you are at Unity? You drove here? Yeah, life can sometimes be really challenging, right? And just to acknowledge that it's a miracle that I'm living and breathing. It's a miracle. I woke up again. The sun came up again. It's a miracle. And so if we see life as a series of small miracles, then we stay in that kind of energy that allows us to open to the next possibility and the next, and to enjoy it even, and not to fear it so much. So I asked Nicole what it took for her to complete her hike, what it took for her to come to that place. And she said, I just had to prove it to myself. And so it's that when we prove something to ourselves, when we do something to prove it to ourselves, we then expand, right? What's possible? So our faith itself sort of, we have all the faith we need, but we consciously expand into a whole different understanding of what is possible for us. So every time we allow ourselves or we encourage ourselves to take another leap, to take another step, to try something new, that's what we're doing. We're expanding into the next level of possibility, the next level of capacity. And the other reason why I thought it was really a great metaphor is she wasn't just climbing a mountain. She was climbing a volcano. Do you know what happens with volcanoes? I mean, we all know they erupt, right? And what comes out of them is hot lava. And that lava that also has ash, and it's mostly the ash, but somewhat the lava, creates virgin, fertile soil, like none that has ever been known on earth. It's brand new soil. And it's in that brand new soil that we can plant the seeds of our new lives and our new selves, to know that it will grow and foster, and we can foster it through our faith, nurture it, see it come to fruition. Our capacities, our physical capacities, may seem like they shift or change or feel more limited sometimes as we age, but here's the really good news. Our spiritual capacity gets better and better and deeper and wider. And that is like engagement for lifetimes, right? To dance in the mystery of spirit, to move into that capacity. And so that's what we're about on this journey of the 12 powers that we're starting today with faith. And as we keep on moving, as we keep on walking to that truest life and that truest self, yeah, the winds might blow. Big deal. It's part of what is. But we just keep on our journey. Let's know that together. Let's speak it together. Let's affirm it. Let's make it firm and make it so. Together? Even as the winds of transition blow, I keep walking in faith toward my true self and my true life. So it is. Amen. Don't forget your umbrella. Thank you.